Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. And speaking of The Lois Effect, I just I am just now updating my Twitter. What's our handle for and that's actually, this is good that this is coming up in conversation, because then we put things out there as we brainstorm on the air. What's our Twitter handle for The Lois Effect?
I'll have to double check the end, because it just loads up on mine. So.
Okay, yeah, so I don't know what it is. Let me see if I can look that up. So, and that's good, because I'm thinking about, you know, we're switching things up, and you've done a really good job of always referencing the day's show and what we're talking about, and that's been great. And I think that the way that I used to, I'm doing a search now to find out the handle, the way that I used to.
It is The Lois Effect. I mean, that's, yeah.
Okay. So it's at, and then just Lois Effect.
At the underscore Lois underscore effect.
That was, you know what, that was the part I knew there was something there. It was the underscore. Okay. At the underscore. And then each thing is underscored?
It's capitalized. Huh? No, it's not. It's just, Lois is just spelled out. There's no, like,
okay.
Underscore. Yeah, the underscore Lois underscore effect.
Got it. Thank you. Okay, so her profile is updated. It's really funny because it's all out there that for that I co-host, you know, this podcast. And but on my personal Twitter, it's kind of, you know, in the little bio, it lists off the things that you do. And for several years, I've had co-host of the Sum of You show, and I realized, oh, I got to update that. What's our handle? And it's so funny, because most people, and I have like 7,000 something followers, don't know how that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's because Actors Want Work, and it's like, sorry, I'm not the Wizard of Oz, but whatever. But it's interesting that people really don't read, because it's right out there. It's been out there. It's not funny. I think one person said, oh, I heard your show. It's really cool. And that was somebody that I didn't go out of my way to say, oh, I co-host this podcast. But they were smart enough to, or thorough enough, or attentive enough to pay attention and read the whole profile. So it's kind of interesting. It's like a little experiment, too. Like, how much attention do people really pay? So it's not
right.
Like I'm hiding anything. It's there. But I'm not going to you know, walk around with a sandwich board. Sandwich board.
Sandwich sounds
good, yeah. Yeah, but to say, oh, check out this podcast where, like, you know, I see dead people. Yay. And dead people come in to co-host. Okay. That's what they're doing. I think it's funny. So, anyway, I think that that is motivating me to revisit Twitter.
Good.
I'm not
a big Twitter fan. Like, I don't really... I know there are a lot of people who prefer that and who go on there.
Yeah, me neither, to be honest.
Daily.
Nope.
To get their, you know, to get their information and to keep up. And I'm like, wow, I just
nope.
Don't.
Hello. No, me too.
Yeah. I think it's started, I mean, it's I think now even more preferred than, say, Instagram. But then those are other...
Wait a minute. You think Twitter is more preferred than Instagram?
I think it is. I think there are people who maybe don't.
It's interesting.
Because it's a certain way of communicating versus, you know, like really wanting to show a picture.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter can do both. It can be like, I'm just gonna speak, or I'm going to also attach a link, or so I think among the younger crowd, and I think for people who like to be really connected, I think Twitter tends to be the way to go.
Yeah, it's true. Lots of conversations, lots of threads. Yeah, you're right. I prefer, and it's interesting. I prefer Instagram. It's like I love watching images. It's a reflection of the person. It's an expression.
Yeah, me
and
too.
Then you're right, and then you can comment. Well, you know what, girl? Maybe we'll just keep things the way that they are, and maybe we'll set up a we'll set up an Instagram. You like taking pictures?
I already deal with two Instagram accounts.
No, I would manage. I would say no. I'm not telling you to Matt. I'm not telling or asking you to.
Oh, but I'm saying also that because I do obviously have my personal one. I do post for my business one. I'll post a very occasionally, and I have a lot of people who follow me will also follow my business one.
Right, that's true.
But I don't really. I either stay on one or the other. And mostly it's my personal one. So I kind of don't. I'm not as interactive with my business stuff.
That's me too. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Twitter account I think Twitter and Instagram for my business. Don't even touch it. Everything's my personal one. I mean, it's
right
there. I'm like, I think maybe because you, as I do, feel like it's sort of like one and the same in a sense. So why have people? Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. Just brainstorming.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, and you know, there are apps that people like to use. Like you can do a repost or whatever. I'm like,
I know. It's another show.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. But happy Halloween.
Oh, my God, it's Halloween. Right. I actually posted on Instagram a cute little picture for Halloween. See, there we go.
See?
There we go. Maybe we just won't create another. Again, brainstorming, R&D, research and development. Maybe we won't have a separate dedicated account, but within maybe our personal ones, if we feel like it, to cross-reference, maybe, and have a link. I don't know. We'll see. But you know what? We have the Twitter. The Twitter is there. So maybe we'll just leave it at, I think I don't even remember because I probably like you, just sort of like the ease of Instagram, and then I just share it to Twitter. If you post on Twitter, I don't think you can share it on Instagram. I think it's the other way around. I'm not sure.
Not sure either.
All right. Anyway, thank you that loud. Yay. So happy Halloween. Have no plan. Go ahead.
I'm actively trying to avoid staying at a house so that.
Me too.
I mean, not that I have to deal. We don't normally get trick or treaters because it's such a treacherous road.
Right, talk about Halloween. That's a Halloween
right.
Trick or treat house right there. It's cause that you got a steep hill. That's funny.
Almost like if they decide to knock on the door.
They
I almost feel like
that.
They do. Yeah, like maybe we should
take
candy just in case. Crap. But I don't really know. I think at some point during the day I'll just probably light a candle, and say hello to everybody on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I'm drinking black tea every so often. And it was such a dreary, rainy day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Rained hard here. That I was starting to doze off, because it was so gray. Starting to doze off. And so I made a cup of Earl Grey tea.
Right.
And so naturally I was awake because of the caffeine.
The caffeine, yes. That's why
I was
saying,
awake.
I know you're very sensitive to that, to caffeine.
Oh, my gosh.
Girl.
So I was up to like 3.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I knew there was a choice there because I could have had something else. But I really wanted that flavoring of, because it's just a bag of black tea. It's not like I put anything else in it. But yeah, I'm awake now. I was awake and then I was not. But the last bit of my dream that I had, I think I was on the phone with you.
Oh,
and
girl.
I can't remember if you were trying to, tell me, if you were trying to, I don't know what we're talking about. But there was a bug that was, I could see it. I could see it flying around, so I'm trying to like kill this bug. It was totally out to get me. That's all I remember.
That's interesting because, you think, well, I just said like one sentence about a dream. How could she possibly? Well, she can. So it's interesting because when you said bug, it wasn't literal to me. It was more when people, so what came in energetically, even that little snippet, and it's interesting how energy works. And you could have one sentence of a dream, or you could have like a 3-page dream.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the same impression from energy, from the energy coming in. I didn't get literal bug, but when people used to say the phone is tapped, the phone is bugged.
Mm.
And I do not know what that means, but that's what came in, because when you reference a dream, or we know that someone is calling in for a reading or whatever, I immediately, and now it's just habit, I don't even think about it, I immediately grab my notebook and pen to jot whatever comes in. That's just been habit for years now, which is great. It's just automatic. So it's almost like another part of me steps in. So it's not like the therapist taking notes and making inferences. It's like the scribe recording whatever energetic hits or symbols or images come in. So that's what came in immediately. And I'm wondering how that is a crumb of information or awareness for you?
Well, when you said, I don't think bug, but I think, and then you sort of, I don't know if you tapered off, but I'm like, oh, wait, I had a had an acupuncture session and reunion session with Donna on Tuesday, in part because she was finally back from another part of the state, and I had ordered a bunch of supplements in my ongoing treatment of like random skin conditions, whatever flares up. It's usually because I've run out of some supplement, or it's like it's time for a change, and that's usually my cue to to get in touch with Donna and say, look, this is what's going on. And so she's like, oh, yeah. And, she's getting hits already. Like, oh, yeah, we need to get this and this and this. So I said, good. Does that mean we're up for a session? Because I have only so much time before I leave. And
that's
also
right.
I'm set for whatever supplements I need to take. And
So
we did a session
because
this is something that has flared up before. I get these little bumps. And now it's like underneath the skin on my fingers and on my hand, and they're just itchy. And it happened before. And she's like, yeah, that's something viral. So that's something that we need to, we need to address. And she said, once we address all the other stuff, like the whole system is just sort of showing up, But once we address those issues, then this won't happen. So she did a session for me while I was, you know, getting my acupuncture. And another ancestral thing, this was something, she said it's collective, but it's also part of something that within my lineage, my mother's side, all female, in this line of a virus, you know, of this person, this woman, ancestor was, I guess, ended up getting really sick. And it wasn't something she was like just born with. I guess that's where it started within this line, but it's generations ago. But it had, you know, its physical symptoms, but also because it was spiritual in nature. So throughout this lineage, you know, there have been cases of just, you know, women who get really, really sick. And so I'm trying to get my piece of paper because she wrote it out and what she was getting. And I looked at that last night because I felt like it was important, especially with it on the cusp of it being, you know, Halloween, just to, you know.
Yeah.
Again,
Day of the Dead
kind
tomorrow.
Say, you know,
yes.
Pay homage to my,
yes,
my ancestors. So this one was, she put mother's side seven generations back, female.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah. 30 years old. You and others caged by the harsh inner tension of feeling inappropriately judged by others. When you feel invaded by fear and confusion, open in gratitude to a loving rebirth of passion, fulfillment, and love of others. So she was just kind of tapping into what was going on. And she said, you feel stuck, unable to open to a sense of confidence about the fulfillment you were hoping for. So you're in a rut, stalked by fearfulness, you roll away from the reality of existence. So courage is what's needed. Pangs of fear and uncertainty regarding one's path in this world are noisily uncoiling within one, and the result would be illness. One has been feeling feeling and ignoring the collective's resonance within one because it is hurtful and disheartening. And then, you know, and then she does her kind of magic stuff, whatever. But she's like, so it resulted in an implant, meaning because of this ongoing situation in the line, there's a belief that kept going over and over again, but she finds out where it has been stuck in the body. And this one was in the eyes, the pineal gland, third eye.
Oh, wow.
Stubbornly overwhelms your trust in grace's support and faith in others' love. And it creates ineligibility, not deserving, feeling greedy and unworthy, a dulling loss of joy and vitality.
That's deep.
Yeah, and in fact, for that part, she said that the ancestor that was working with her, whether it was that one in particular or just, you know, whatever, I think she was that one in particular, wanted, like, on my third eye, like, the emerald, an emerald, like the color, to be on my third eye. That way it would, you know, help clear it out. And then she wanted a sapphire on her third
eye.
But
while you're there, go to the store.
Right. So that was realization that
that's funny.
Well, emerald also is my birthstone.
Oh.
And Sapphire actually is my mother's birthday.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. I mean, that came.
I didn't say that with. I didn't say that to Donna, but I was
brilliant.
Like, I was thinking, well, Emerald's my birthday. I didn't say it out loud, but until just now.
It's interesting too,
so,
because. Go ahead.
A force that spreads through your inners, like, I don't know if she said inner, but inner, like a virus, is creating havoc with one's ability to digest. Like, in my stuff right now, all of it has to do with, like, stomach stuff. So the viral part is a persistent weakness or discomfort is being exacerbated by the surging implant. So then she goes into this epiphany, a powerful outspreading of happiness. Like, that's the main thing that can combat this and break through it.
It's the other side of the virus. It's a viral,
right.
But it's the flip side.
Right. Abilities and blessings, joyful inner creativity. And she wrote this on the sign. I don't know what it is. Anyway, rising into the exhilaration of your path ahead.
Yeah.
Embracing you. And then sensitivity, piercing through untruths and deception, acting with powerful and compassionate clarity.
So perfect, because when you were first speaking, and before you mentioned fingers, I said there's something up with the eyes. So I love that came out. Yay, because I wrote that down. Love that. And that compassionate clarity is so key for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That just those two words together, I think, is such a powerful anchor. And I think will be a foothold for you. You know, because you're going to be overseas for a long time in closed quarters, whether it's a plane going to where you're going, it's the cabin of the ship with your parents, it's God knows where you are going to be in the Philippines. You know, you mm-hmm. might be in closed quarters with lots of people that you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Compassionate clarity, and what an opportunity for you to turn this virus around,
right,
to its other side. And earlier on, when you were talking, I just jotted this down so I wouldn't forget. You managed a few years ago to very organically interrupt the pattern, or a pattern rather, but I think it ties into this. We talked about this many years ago on the show, but there was a pattern where you were very tethered to lots of things. You were tethered to the dynamic in the household when you were living with your two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain familiar dynamic there. Then you were tethered to the fraternity, which is a kind of a family, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's kind of very parallel, sort of like, I could do it. I'm a Jane of all trades. Yeah, but what about what you need or being taken care of or whatever, right? So the buildup of the frustration of not having much of a voice, and the being taken for granted, and then the obvious resentment, build up of resentment, and then also the time where there was the pattern of, for a long time, every time you would visit your parents, you would end up sick on the couch, and your mother would take care of you.
Right.
So all that was coming. So I was jotting that down because those are contemporary manifestations kind of like a mirror to what you got from all this work that you're doing with the epigenetics and the healing work and all of that. So now if you're looking at the spectrum, you've gotten the full spectrum now. Does that make sense? How,
yes.
Right? Okay, so you have this full spectrum, and there you are in the middle. But the middle is good because we talked about this last show. That would be the eye of the storm.
Right.
And that would be the place where, and look at the third eye. You think about that, the third eye being the eye of the storm of just this life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are resting in that frequency and mindful of compassionate clarity with compassion with clarity, see how it's interchangeable?
Right.
All of this, because it's energy, all of this is interchangeable, but it doesn't have to touch you if you rest in that compassionate clarity for yourself and for your ancestors and for whoever is in your path, because you can live there. And what's coming
mm-hmm.
in too, and I don't know because I never read the book, but the phrase that's coming in is that's what's known as the seat of the soul. I don't know if that's true. I never read the book, but that's the terminology that's coming in. Like the eye of the storm is the seat of the soul.
Mm.
Don't know that book. I know it's a book that came out like in the 90s, but that's all I know. But that term, and maybe it's a book that Lois liked or something. I have no idea. Or it was in her library.
I want to say.
Tell me.
Hold on. Let me write that down.
Uh-huh. I think it's Greg Braden, but don't quote me, because this is all off the top of my head.
Well, she did like Greg Braden. I don't know.
I should look it up. Let me look it up.
Well, yeah, because I'm typing down the notes.
Let me write this down.
It's either him or it's Gary Zukav, which I think is...
He wrote The Seat of the Soul?
I think so.
Yes, yes, I think you're right. Let me just check. I'm going to just go on the Google.
Yep.
What did we,
Gary Zukav, I just did.
It was. Okay. Okay.
And I may have read that book.
Anyway, maybe something
she had too.
Maybe it's a book that she had. But it's funny how Greg Braden came in, so that's funny because she was a fan of his. That's really funny because I'm not familiar with either one of their work, to be honest. I don't – but I know they're very well-respected, long-standing authors. Authors I'm sure Lois was very familiar with. She's probably hanging out with them now. She's having cocktails with them now. and she wasn't much of a drinker in this life.
No, not really.
Yeah, well, that's changed. She wasn't much of a party. She wasn't much of a party girl. She's really lightened up. I'm not saying she was a heavy whatever, but very cerebral. But she's
oh yeah.
So I think that's why she enjoys me on the other side, because it's she gets that, like, that lightness. Kind of funny. Yes. So seat of the soul, whatever that's a little clue where that there's a parallel to the eye of the storm. And resting in that third eye place, which came up in your session with Donna. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So whatever that, but that's really good. That, and it's literally at your fingertips. Isn't that funny? This information, this moving forward, this progress, this progression. It's literally all at your fingertips. And it's good. You're taking care of business.
Yeah, and Donna had mentioned that, you know, this kind of work, it heals, it helps the whole lineage, but, you know, backwards and forwards. So I'm thinking of my soon-to-be-born niece in particular.
That's nice.
Which I think is partly why all the stuff, like I really was thinking about some of the stuff yesterday, you know, just the timing of things.
Mm-hmm.
And even just now when you were talking about some things, like previous dreams, images have come up, and the Eye of the Storm, gosh, I remember thinking or having dreams of being, you know, being on the ocean, sort of overlooking we have a timeshare in Myrtle Beach, and so it overlooks the ocean, and so I'm there, I'm with my dad, and we're watching the news, and it's a beautiful day, you know, absolutely sunny, but we're watching the news, and there are all these storms, like on the weather map,
wow,
of the United States. You know, there are all these like hurricanes, like you can see all the different patterns going.
Right.
And then I'm looking because it looks like, you know, that's like the warning, like, hey, this is what's happening. And I'm looking over, out the window. And of course, you know, beautiful day, we're on the beach, and I see this whole line of people who are, a whole line of cars on the beach,
wow,
that you don't ever see, but they're
on
all
the
like, evacuating.
Wow.
But it's completely calm day, right? And I'm looking at that, and I'm with my dad. I don't see my mom anywhere. I'm with my dad. I'm just like, huh. You know, like, well, do we need to be going?
Right.
Because there are people on the beach, you know. So that's right on that shoreline driving.
Correct.
And
yeah.
The whole line moving out.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that I probably have it written down somewhere. If I saw that, I kind of associate that dream. I don't know what time of my life I associate that dream with, either as an after my grandmother had died, as my dad's mom, the grandmother I knew the best. I don't know if it was it was like before she died or after she died, like soon after, but there was that connection. And then there's another dream years later. Again, I remember seeing my dad, but it had to do with the house that they live in Charleston. And
yeah,
the house was like, there was another storm.
Interesting.
This time like a tornado. So the house and everything around it, and the house was still there, but it changed, obviously. And it was like we were still standing, you know, but there was a lot of destruction, a lot of upheaval. So those were certain themes. Another theme that I used to get a lot, because really since joining that fraternity, I would get these frustration dreams of not being heard. And you said that, like not having a voice. I was in charge, because many times I have been the leader. I was in charge.
Right.
Leading
right.
a meeting and no one's paying attention. You know, I got this huge room. It's supposed
Girl.
To be a meeting. No one's paying attention.
Oh, that's so most frustrating.
And
thing.
You know, I'm banging the gavel, like, hello, you know, like, you know, you asked me to, you know, to do all these things. You elected me and you're not paying attention. So that would be like an ongoing dream that I would have.
Right. And with the gavel, just for the detail, okay, that image, that symbol, so I think it's relevant to everything that you're saying here. It's calling to order, calling
right.
things to order, right? So that's what you're doing. It's calling to order. And I think another detail that you said that I think it needs to be mentioned, so that it's so important, is that the house is still there, but it's changed. So your house, okay, of the, what houses your organism, what houses your spirit, what houses you, what houses that eye of that storm, what houses that compassionate clarity, which I thank you for mentioning, because I'm going to take that little soundbite and put that in my and my change purse, because that's beautiful. Compassionate Clarity. That house is there, but it is changing because you're changing.
Right.
And just as a question is coming to mind, just as an observation, when you, how did you deal with any sort of change, like when, since you, and I'm getting like as a young child, could have been change of when, I know your mother, I don't know how old you were when your mother like was working more hours out of the house, but any sort of change, let's say, like age 10 and younger is what I'm being led to ask you. How did you deal with any sort of, I would say major change? Doesn't necessarily have to be a crisis, but just major change in the routine from like 10 and younger, if you can remember.
Keep in mind, let's keep in mind, I'm a Taurus, so naturally.
Well,
I
know that, yes. Well,
so,
no, but that, yes.
The things that kind of
okay, so that's interesting. Hold
you,
up. So that's interesting. So let me just, let me just get my little notebook. Okay, so that's the first thing. You don't like change. So that's lifelong.
Well, you're asking, you know, you're asking in general, and as a kid, I mean, that's
right.
Something that, you know, when we get into a routine and we're still sticking with the routine, that means,
right.
Okay, I bought into it. I can do this. I see that there's a benefit to it, right? As a little kid, the first thing that came up because it's I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like being left alone. I didn't like
My
parents took a trip. I know I've mentioned that before.
Yeah,
my parents used to not even take a trip. They would have a night out for themselves, and I would be so upset that they didn't take me, even if it wasn't something that kids needed to go to. And so I had developed the story that I was actually kidnapped. My real family would never leave me behind, that type of thing. So that was probably, you know, age four, a lot of stuff happened in my mind happens around the age of five. But then, you know, we moved to our house, the current house my parents have been in ever since. And that was, I don't recall feeling like any other way about it. I just figured, well, you know, we got to see the house before we moved in, I think, or when we first moved in, because there was nothing in it. And it was newly built. It was a brand new subdivision. And I remember thinking, this house is huge, because we were living in a mobile home before then. You know, I'm also like, you know, 6 years old. So it was an adventure. And everything was new. But then fast forward, and my dad has an opportunity to be transferred to Virginia through his work. And I think I was in high school by this time, like maybe freshman year or sophomore year. And I'm thinking, and I already had a plan B. I'm like, well, I'm not moving. I guess I'll just, you know, both my aunts still live here, so I can just use one of their addresses.
Right. Hello, that's right. We got to find us. We got to find that loophole in the system all day. That's how we roll. Yep, that's
like,
normal for us.
Well, plan B. I think they can put up with me for maybe 2 years, and you know, then I graduate. Like, okay, see you
that third world survival DNA. We got this. That's really funny. We are wired like that. We are so wired like that. It's like, let me figure this out. Okay, we will not starve. Let's figure this out.
The reason why my main reason, obviously, I'm in high school.
I'm
involved in my band. I've got, you know,
got
student council. I've got all these things that I'm like, I love this stuff. And
you got to figure it out.
And also, my dad worked a lot. So our closest relationship was with our mother. And so that sort of distance with my dad for a number of years was palpable. Like, you know, of course he would pick up and figure out, you know, another job opportunity without considering all of, you know, that type of thing. It's like, oh, well, of course. Because all he does is work, you know. So I was like, well, he can go. I guess mom can go too, but, you know, I'm staying here. So that's, it's, you know, I could be very, very stubborn about things. And that I say all that because even at that age, you know, obviously I'd already read up on astrology and I kind of bought into a lot of stuff with our traits. I mean, even the bad stuff, because it's not really bad to be stubborn, but it can be done in excess and you can miss out.
Right.
But at that age, I'm like, well, I guess that's that Taurus part really, because no, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And it never came to that. It never came to that. But that's sort of how I dealt with change.
No, that makes sense. And when you say that, I would put money that my youngest son got some Taurus in him because he is so damn stubborn. Oh, there's something. I don't need a chart to tell me that one is like, you know, a fake cancer and he's all Taurus. I don't believe him for a second. Interesting. But it's interesting because one of the first things that you said is that when you were super young, so the nature, you know, being Taurus, whatever, it's like the baseline is you don't like change. Okay, most of us don't. But yes, but it's so prevalent that you don't like change, especially super young. But that as a young person, that you bought into it, meaning you accepted it. But it's interesting that those were the words that you used, buying into it. So now as a older person, as a fully formed adult, you know that there's a choice to buy into it, to opt in or opt out, right?
Right.
And I think it's very interesting that it was about being left alone or being left out. And perhaps that this is the core issue of being sort of that designated person. Because if you're that designated person to take care of everything, whatever, then you're kind of for. It's like you got painted into this corner that, you don't want to be left alone. Now you're stuck with that. Now you're stuck with that everybody because you're stuck with all the responsibility and all that, which will turn into resentment. So if it goes to that core belief or that core thing from being, you know, super young, being left out, being left alone, and now there's this shift of, yes, this coexistence, I can coexist within these two places of I can be alone and embrace it because you're not being left alone. No one's leaving anybody. And you're not, you're not being left out. You're choosing how to spend your time being on your own, having solitude, which, hello, we love, is a choice. And it's interesting because the other thing that you said that I thought was important was that your real family wouldn't leave you behind.
Right.
So it's interesting because you now, as a fully formed person, okay, an adult, you're never dealing with that illusion of being left behind by your inner life and by spirit, by your collective, by your guides, which you have a truckload. I knew that 10 years ago. Okay, you have there's a lot going on. There's a lot to that energy. And who knows, maybe that was something that you needed so young or over many lifetimes to get to this place. And it's interesting because you're at the brink of having such a full circle moment. And this really is like an act break. And an act break, in the way that I'm using it metaphorically, it's like we're leading toward the end of Act One. And for any good dramatic work, you're left with questions as to, oh my God, where is this going to go?
Right.
So it's almost like this trip that you're about to take is the act break, is the intermission, where you literally go backstage, where you literally, the house lights go up, right? So if you're a player on the stage, you're literally backstage, or if you're in the audience watching, the house lights go up, and you're back to the world of effects before Act Two starts, and it's your suspension of disbelief. It's a knocking down of that fourth wall. Look at me with my theater metaphors, and the action is unfolding for Act Two to see how. And with any great dramatic work, it's a full circle moment, and that's what's going on. How old were you when you were in the Philippines? You were like 33?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Jesus' age. 33 is so powerful. You know, I don't know if
that's
it's totally 30.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the baby died when I was 33. And that totally, crazy. I'm like, oh, that's Jesus' age. Okay, got crucifixion? Check. Got it. Thank you.
35.
35. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is, you're such a different person.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a different person. And I don't know what was going on at that time, but energetically, I would guess that in your romantic relationship or ships, that things weren't quite fully formed, or they were jagged edges. I don't know why I'm getting that as the image, but they were jagged edges, or things were not fully formed at 35.
34. I'm like calculating. Wait. No, it's 34.
34. Okay.
No, I had gotten out of a relationship. I mean, that one, you know, they all hurt. But that one was like kind of dragged out for a little bit, you know,
yeah.
Kind of like, oh, we're back together again. Oh, no, we're not. So
you're a roller coaster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
interesting. Yeah, and I think this is, again, I've been saying this for years. It's like you're really clearing the path. I mean, it's not necessarily conscious, but what's happening, and I've been saying this for years, you're really clearing the path for that next relationship. So all this kind of has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the snowplow. Mm-hmm. It's like, oof. There's a lot to clear. But you're doing it. And it's literally all at your fingertips. So when you look at your fingertips, because that's what you said, some of this viral stuff was taking place.
Yeah, and between my fingers and underneath the main part of my hand, the palm of my hand. So,
interesting too, because that's the stigmata. Oh, this is deep.
Well. The last few sessions with Donna, I've had it where it's usually something like on a female ancestor, and there's just a lot of unhappiness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, on the drive home on Tuesday, just talking out loud to my guys. I'm like, well, no wonder, you know, no wonder
right.
I'm gay, because like, you know,
right, you hear all these women, you're like all these bitches, all these bitches up on my grill.
They have been unhappy and unhappy in part, you know, thinking of the way their life had to be, like some of the things they had to do.
I can only imagine with men. I mean, no. I'm not hating on the men, but come on, hello.
Well, right. And so I was just sort of like, well, of course, you know, because I knew early
women.
On,
right.
before I knew what it meant to be gay, I just figured, mm-hmm. you know, I hope they're not expecting me to, like, first of all, I hope they're not expecting me to marry Filipino, because I don't see that happening.
You're like, nope. That ain't going to happen.
But then I was like, you know, I just don't see it happening. And then I remember when Anna got married, and her husband was, and he still is super nice. But I just don't see it. I was scratching my head, and I didn't have that kind of relationship where I could just talk with Anna. Like we had a good relationship, but
sure.
I didn't see her for most of the year. So
right.
I would only see her on my summer vacations, and I was like,
right.
When did she start dating this guy? Like, when did all this happen? Just
right.
never put it together. Not that I was assuming she was, you know, she was gay, but that she was just not going to. I didn't see her usually getting married. I just didn't see
right.
it.
Right.
So I'm thinking, well, crap, you know. I just thought, but that's just one thing that's just not going to happen. Because I just don't. Not for me. And I don't. I didn't have not nearly. The same amount of pressure, because there is still pressure to, you know, to be successful, whatever that means, you know, according to
right.
you know, my mother, there's a whole
right.
list of things.
Doctor,
that,
lawyer,
that,
whatever,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, marry a doctor, lawyer, or engineer, or be one, and then marry
right.
a doctor, lawyer, engineer, like have a power couple, and then
right.
have a bunch of kids, you know,
right.
and give them grandkids. So all those things, and I'm just like, I just don't see it.
Mm.
I just didn't, and it was because a lot of stuff sort of happened backwards. You know, my mom was talking about wanting to have grandkids, and I was in college. I'm like, I'm not even dating anybody, so I don't even know why this
right.
is. Why you're even talking about this?
Listen,
it just seemed out of place.
That granddaughter, that's a golden child because you're.
Oh,
that,
I know.
I'm telling you that that's more than the cruises. That has just bought a whole lease on their life. That talk about occupational therapy. Just call her OT. Just name the baby OT, because that's some occupational therapy, and it does give them, like, the fact that my mother is a grandmother, and again, four kids. I was the only one to have kids. You know, very similar, my
mm-hmm.
siblings, whatever, and that's cool. And she would have been fine without them, but the fact that they do exist, it does give them life.
Right.
So she is the Christ child, this little baby. That's so beautiful.
And, you know, I was actually thinking that it would be a boy, and then when we found out it's going to be a girl, I was even more happy. I was like, oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And you're going to go, you know what's going to happen when she's born? You're going to go tag your it, and then you're going to run. Let her carry all the epigenetics and everything else. Bye. Auntie's going now. Auntie's going to Lilith Fair. Bye. Whatever. That's my
God.
Joke.
One day
right. God forbid. Right.
But,
right.
But that's that. All of it, you know, it's just so interesting how things have tied up, you know, and I feel like my gods are like, you know, like there's no way I could have fathomed all of this.
Mm-mm.
So that's fine, because early on in one of those sessions, Donna was like, yeah, you know, there are a lot of these like spirits, these like souls kind of hanging out, you know, waiting. And because they don't want to go, they don't want to reincarnate and have the same kind of conditions.
Oh, I don't
be
blame
there
them.
For them.
I don't blame them. They're like, let's give Elisa like some viruses and some things, because no, we're not. No. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But yeah, if you looked at it, it's literally at your fingertips, and it's all, and that expression too, it's all in the palm of your hands. So it's
mm-hmm.
literally there. And so you're not crucified anymore. It's not the stigmata, right?
Right.
Where the stigmata image is that it's literally nailed to the cross. Now your palms are giving and receiving. No longer no longer tight-fisted, no longer trying to protect that, those wounds. It's like you're dealing like a boss, like a warrior. And that clarity of compassion, that compassionate clarity, I think that those key words are so helpful. And that it's to experience the lightness of being, the joyful lightness of being, and that this is a time of celebration. If you're feeling a sense of heaviness, then your leash for that is compassionate clarity. Find the clarity, find the compassion in the situation, and your default setting is to be light. So that would be the directive to you. It will help continue to break these patterns, and it will help for you to clear your path. And that's Lois. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because now when I say Lois, it's energy that I'm getting from her, but it's also Lois, it's love originating in self. So going back to the origins of love, of self-love. So as we develop this new show in real time, so when I say that's Lois, it means one and the same, right?
Right.
Okay, so, and we'll, you know, when we give readings on the air, whatever, and it kind of ties into branding, the Lois effect. That's Lois. That's love originating in self. So it's not bringing in anything. It's uncovering.
Right.
And that's what you're doing. You're uncovering. So it's literally at your fingertips in the palms of your hands. So that clarity of compassion, that compassionate clarity, that's all you really need. That's all any of us really need. That's Lois. Look at how we're branding. Ding! Wait a minute.
Oh, I think she dinged herself out. I hope she knows to call in. That's a powerful tuning fork she's got there, guys. But I appreciate everyone kind of working with us through this transition from the sum of you into the Lois effect. This is just how it happens, and here she is. She's back again.
Now, okay, that was her. Okay, because what bring, like, she hung up, is okay, and I said, that's Lois. And the phone, because I use the landline to do the show, and
right.
The LED message on the phone, the readout said, no link. Bitch. But, okay, so that's her saying, yes, keep going. How else are we going to know? Girl. Okay, she's leading us. Okay, she's there. She's there with her tuning fork at the head of the parade. Okay, girl. Okay, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Shoot. Oh, that's crazy. I was laughing. I'm like, whoa. That's really funny.
I think she dinged herself off the line. Like, that's a very powerful tuning fork.
I dinged, and then the phone went, and then there was a dial tone. I'm like, ooh. And the thing is, I'm not touching the phone. I'm connected with a headset. My two hands, I have the tuning fork and the mallet, okay? My two hands are like, I'm not even messing with the phone. I did not touch the phone. That's the power of the other side, people. We don't mess with that. Don't mess with the other side unless they want to mess with you. And it's Halloween.
Right.
Okay. It's Halloween, and we honor those that are gone. And that's why I love November 1st, Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. And as a matter of fact, there's a museum. I'm going to meet a friend of mine. There's a museum, the Museum of the Native American, and they're doing a whole Dia de los Muertos kind of situation event tomorrow.
Nice.
Which I'm going to probably go to. Oh, my God. So today's Thursday, right? So let me say goodbye because I'm going to Columbia on Tuesday.
Right.
Shit. Oh, my God. I'll talk to you before I go. You and I will talk offline. I'll talk to you before I go. But I'm leaving on Tuesday, so I will be back on the air Thursday after next, a week from I'll be back the Thursday after next Thursday because I get in very late.
Okay.
Whatever. I'll figure it out. I'll let you know. I'll talk to you. So I'm all over the place because Lois just came in, so I'm kind of not all here. But she like okay. Happy Halloween. I look forward to telling you guys my adventures from Columbia when I come back. Alisa, I will speak to you in between now and when I leave, and we'll sign off. So love yourself fiercely. Let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. And that's the Lois effect. Such
love
a cheesy
y'all.
Show. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Tell me.